Today is Sunday. It's March 30th, 2025. This is part 8 of Grand Canyon Oral History with Martha Scheidler. Martha spells her last name S-H-I-D-E-L-E-R, and she goes by Marty. We are today in our dining room here in our little house in Flagstaff, Arizona. And Marty, how are you doing today?
Real good.
Great. Marty, last time we talked quite a bit about your search and your successful location of your biological mom, which, you know, to my simpleton mind, should be much easier than it is. Today we talked about your search for your biological father. Can you pick that thread up?
Yes. After I finished my search for my birth mother, which was sort of the high point of my entire life, I was in a state of euphoria just for several months. It was just like, I've done everything I need to do in life. My life is, you know, I've completed my basic goals. And, well, in the adoption movement, we call it the honeymoon period, and which is exactly what it was. It was just, I mean, everything was perfect for 2 or 3 months. And then suddenly it began to wear off. I began to think, wait a minute, I finished half my search, but there's still something missing. And I mean, I have a birth mother now, but I must have had a birth father too. So that was one of the first things I asked my birth mother. What was his name? Who was he? Where was he? And all that. So she gave me all the information she had. Well, not quite all, I found out. But his name was Al Walters. But she didn't know if it was Albert, Alvin, Aloysius, whatever. But he went by Al Walters. And she'd met him in Burbank, California. She was staying at this hotel. She was a maid in the hotel. They met. He was an auto parts salesman at a nearby Mogenet auto parts store in Burbank, or it was called Roscoe back then. Anyway, they met and they fell in love, and everything was wonderful, was perfect. She still had her baby with her, baby Jack, Al told her, well, he told her quite a few things, and a lot of it proved not true, or maybe true, or at least curious. For one thing, he said he had a wife, she wanted to get married, and she was really in love, but he said, well, I have a wife, and then he said, but she's dead. And I have 2 children who are living with an aunt in San Pedro. Oh, and then a little bit later he said, well, no, she's not dead. She lives in San Pedro. But she's sick. She's very sick. And then a little bit later, one day, Esther opened the door and there was this woman standing there who said, I'm Rose Walters. Al is my husband and I want you out of the picture. And it didn't happen much, but she told me I needed some information, whatever I could get, to help me find if he was still alive, where he was, who he was, anything about him. She told me a birth date for him, February 16th, 1888. She said, but that can't be right. That's what he told me. But that would make him 50 years old when I was born. And she said, no, he was nowhere near that old. He had to be in his 30s at the most. And I started, first thing I did was start writing letters again. I started going through the phone books for the Los Angeles metropolitan area and looking for Al A., Alvin, Albert, whatever, Walters. And I wrote I must have written about 500 letters, and I wrote them all by hand. I thought that would make a better impression on the people. So, and I included a self-addressed stamped envelope for any response. And I got tons of responses. Of those several hundred letters, I think I must have gotten a 75% response. And every day I went to the mailbox, wow, maybe this is it. No, it wasn't. They were all these very nice responses. And yes, I'm Al Walters, but I'm not the one you're looking for. I grew up in somewhere or other and all that. Some people gave me genealogical information, traced all the way back to England and to ancient royalty in England. And then I happened to look at I was reading something on the Walters in some publication, and I learned that there are 86,000 Walters families in the United States. And I said, 86,000, and I've written 500 letters. That's only 85,000 more to go. And so I didn't get any positive response. I got a lot of responses, but nothing that helped at all with that. So then I signed up with the International Soundex Reunion Registry again, where I updated the information on Al Walters. And after my search for my birth mother, I knew a lot of the publications. There's a lot of search publications, adoptee publications, things like that. So I contacted all them. I put ads in everyone that would take an ad. And then I did the, I put an ad in the Los Angeles Times again. Anyone knowing the whereabouts of Al Walters, who lived in Los Angeles area in 1940, please contact me. And again, it was I got a quantity of chain letters. That's primarily the response from that ad, just chain letters. So that didn't do much good.
You had talked about getting letters when you did this for your mom. Did you get those same type of scam letters? I know Al, and I'll you help you.
No,
buy
I didn't
gas
get anything
and,
like that. I didn't get any anything where they were trying to get money out of me. They were actually trying to be helpful, and either that or sending out chain letters for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
And
what do you mean by a chain letter?
Oh, that was very popular back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. You'd send a letter and you'd say, send what, 50 cents or a dollar to the top name on the list and put your name at the bottom. There's a list of names. Put your name and address at the bottom and send this to 10 people or 20 people or something.
Got it.
And if it worked...
To get it out and further outreach.
And if it worked, you were supposed to get like several hundred dollars back for the dollar you sent.
Well, that sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
And I think I answered one of them. And it was send a quarter to somebody, and I got one quarter back. So, okay, so much for chain letters. Mm. That scam thing, I don't know, you never hear about it anymore, but it was very common back then. Well, then I heard that the Social Security Administration, if you send them a letter, they will look on their records, and if they can find the person you're looking for, they will forward a letter onto them. They won't give you his name or anything. But and I don't know if the Social Security Administration still does that. I don't know if it even exists under Trump. But
you know, Marty, this also reminds me of what's called the Bureau of Vital Statistics that typically is with every state, I believe. And was that an option as well?
Well, eventually it was, yes.
Okay.
Not at this point in the search, no.
No, okay, so let's wait for that. It's going
to
happen.
But I did write to the Social Security Administration.
Okay.
I sent them the letter. I gave the birth date I had.
Ah.
I gave where he was born. And this is another thing. My birth mother said, oh, he was born in Georgia. So I started contact the Bureau of Vital Statistics in Georgia, but they said, oh, we didn't keep birth records before 1919. And he'd been born somewhere around the turn of the century. So that didn't work. I sent something. Georgia also has a historical records something or other, and that has names in it. So I sent something to them, and they said, no, we have no Al Walters. Okay. But again, where he was born, I've got several bits of information on that. So the next thing I did, I thought, well, he's in Georgia, okay. There must be some records. And I contacted the Mormon Church. And up here, well, I went up on Cherry Hill to that church, but they didn't have the records I needed. They didn't have them for Georgia, or they didn't have them for back that far or something or other. They said the only place you can find them is in Mesa. Go down to Mesa. So I called the Mesa Mormon Church down there, and they said, oh, yeah, come anytime you want. I went down there, and I spent 4 hours searching. Everything was on microfiche, so I spent 4 hours searching. And the very last microfiche available, I found Al Walters, born in 1888, 12 years old at the turn of the century. Wow, this must be it. I read through the whole thing, race, colored. Oh, well, maybe he was. And I got all the information, gave his children's names and everything like that. And it didn't have when he, it just had that he was living in at that particular time, whenever the census records were out. And I contacted my mother. Could he possibly have been part black? And she, no, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And I didn't know if that was prejudice or honesty, or I had no idea. But that was the first thing I found that actually had his name with a birth date even that mattered.
Was he born then in Georgia? Did the LDS records say where he was born?
No, that did not. Yes, it did. It did say he was born in Georgia on that for that particular Al Walters. Okay. Yes, and I thought, well, I'll go on with this further.
Yeah,
but the Library of Congress has hundreds of books, and they have hundreds of books on the Walters families in the United States. And it's spelled Walther, W-A-L-T-H-O-U-R, T-H-E-R, all different, like there's about five different spellings of the Walters family. Okay, nothing there.
Did you have to go to the Library of Congress to look at those?
No, I could. Let's see, it was before computers. How did I get? They sent me a list.
Okay.
They actually sent me by mail a list, which I may still have. I kept all the records of everything I've done on this. Then I thought, somebody. Maybe it was in one of the search magazines, I saw an ad for Lloyd Shulman. And there was a TV show on back then, this is in the 80s, called Finder of Lost Loves. It starred Tony Franciosa. And it was based on the work of Lloyd Shulman, who was a private investigator who searched for people and had an astounding success rate. So I immediately wrote to him, and he wrote right back, and he said, oh yes, we'd be glad to. He called me on the phone to get all the information he could on Al Walters, and like everything I had, where born, birth date, anything. My birth mother also told me that, again, about that his wife's name was Rose. And if she was still living, she lived in San Pedro, so I could tell Lloyd Shulman that. Well, he then sent me a contract to find this one of them, since my birth mother had also told me his children's names, Catherine, and she said Kenneth, which didn't turn out to be true. But so I had those, and Lloyd said, in the contract it said he would find a record, either if he's alive, an address, or if he's dead, a death certificate for Al Walters and the two children. However, it would cost $1,000. I thought, oh, shoot. There's no way I could afford that kind of money. So I thought, I didn't send in the contract. I thought maybe I can do some more of on my own. So, what can I do? I also searched military records, see if he'd had a military. And unfortunately, they needed a social security number, which I hadn't been able to get, and it turned out he didn't have it. So when I was in California visiting my mother, my adoptive mother, I told her, I said, I'm going to go search for these places that Esther Delia Foster told me about, the Pullman Hotel where they lived and met, Mogenet Auto Parts where he worked, and then a little house on Telfair Street where they had moved in together and were so happy together. So I drove over there. Well, the Pullman Hotel had been torn down and a shopping center had been built. And so the house had been torn down and something had been built there too. Oh, the freeway had gone through there. But I did find an abandoned building with Mogenet Auto Parts painted on the
Oh
side.
my goodness.
I said, that's where he works. At least I found that. And then I thought, well, I wonder where I can go from here. And then I thought, an auto parts store, they might, if I could find another auto parts store in this area, they might, know people back and forth. Well, I was looking for the town of Roscoe.
Can I jump in for a minute here now? When was this? What year was this that you're in California and you're at the Mogenet Auto Parts abandoned building?
Okay, this was either late 84 or early 85.
Okay, so let me work out the math. I assume that in you were born in 40 what?
40.
40? Okay. Say he was 20, 25. This is now 40 some years later, 45
44
years
years later,
later. So
yeah.
he would have been in his mid-60s or mid-70s or mid-80s. I mean, you don't know kind of what how old that is. I was just trying to put this in perspective. So you're going to another auto parts store. He would have worked there in the 60s. No. When he in 1940 he was that's when he met your birth mom, 39. Ish.
Yes.
Wow. So now it's 1984. Okay. So I'm just
That's
putting this
yes,
together. Auto
45
parts
years
stores.
later. And the town was, I couldn't find Roscoe. I looked on the map. I had a map from my adoptive mother. I said, they had maps of everything in Southern California. And I said, do you have a map of the Burbank area? She said, oh yeah, look in that drawer. And I found this map, and it had the town of Roscoe on it, between Los Angeles and Burbank. I kept looking for Roscoe, and there was no Roscoe
Gone.
anywhere. It was Los Angeles, and it was Burbank. And I said, what in the heck? And it turns out Roscoe had been sort of assimilated by Los Angeles, and the map that I was looking at was back from 1950 or something or other. So, but then I'm driving along the street, and all of a sudden I look up, and I see Roscoe Auto Parts. What? Okay, so I thought, well, whatever, this has got to be symbolic of something. So I stopped and I went in, and I said, I gave him my story. Hello, I'm looking for somebody that used to work at Mogenet Auto Parts, but I see that it's been torn down. They say, oh yeah, that was torn down. It became Mike's Auto Parts. I said, well, does it still at Mike's still exist? And they said, oh yeah, it's down. They gave me the address somewhere else. And I said, well, would there be anyone here who would know somebody? I mean, who might know somebody who had worked at Mogenet Auto Parts 40 years ago? And one guy said, yeah, hey Jim, come over here. And Jim, it turned out, he was young, but he says, yeah, my father used to work for Mosinay Auto Parts. And I said, well, would he happen to know someone named Al Walters? He said, I don't know. I said, well, could I talk to him? Well, he's on vacation, but he calls me every night. Here's my phone number. You can call me and tonight after I talk to him. I said, okay, cool. And I said, now, where's this Mike's Auto Parts? I'll try there too. So anyway, so I came away with that. Then another guy was listening in our conversation there, and he said, is this for the reunion? I said, what? He said, are you looking for Al Walters for the reunion? And I looked at him very strangely, and I said, well, we're going to have a reunion as soon as we find him. You know, I never dared mention adoption. So he says, well, that's what the other guy was in here asking about him. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, there's a guy in here asking for Al Walters. They said they were going to having a reunion, and he was trying to find Al Walters. And I'm sitting there, I thought I was the one that was supposed to look for Al Walters. And I said, well, that's what he said. So I walked out just completely like, what is going on here? Something really weird is happening here. This can't be. But I found Mike's Auto Parts, and I walked in there, gave them my same story. I said, I'm looking for Al Walters, who used to work for Mosinay Auto Parts 40 years ago. And the guy said, hey, John, go check under those paint cans back in the storeroom. See if there's Al Walters under there, who's been there for 40 years. Everybody laughs. I said, hey, I'm really looking for Al Walters, who used to work there. Don't know him. Would anybody here know him? Probably not. I said, well, who's the owner of the store? Mike. Well, where's Mike? Can I talk to Mike? No. Well, why not? Oh, he's at home. Where's his home? He lives in Santa Monica. Can I call him or talk to him? No, he don't talk to nobody. Oh, so anyway, I decided, well, so much for the auto parts store for today. So I left. They didn't give me any worthwhile information, obviously. Went home, and I continued on with what I had been doing. Then I got the very brilliant idea.
Oh, hang on, because I'm going to ask you, did you call that guy who was going to talk to his dad?
I did. I did call him that night, and no, his dad didn't remember Al Walters at all.
Okay.
So he had worked at the store, but he didn't remember. So that was a dead end also.
Okay.
And he couldn't tell me anyone else that might be able to give me some information.
Yeah.
So again, like I say, thinking of what can I do? What can I do? I was still writing to all the search organizations, the adoptee organizations, all that. And a couple of people did send some very helpful information. I mean, nice information back, but it didn't lead to anything. They said, well, I can look through my phone books and all this. And one person said, have you tried city directories? City directories.
Oh, wow.
Oh, city directories for Los Angeles. And my birth mother said he had lived in San Pedro. So all I had to do was find the city directory, the LA city directory that had San Pedro listed. And I called the Pasadena, that's where my mother lived, in Pasadena. So I called the Pasadena library and asked, do you have city directories for Los Angeles? Yes, we do. I went down there. No, they didn't. They had them for Pasadena, but just city, not the whole area, not Los Angeles. I said, so it turned out that the only place I could find city directories for Los Angeles was at the Los Angeles Public Library in downtown Los Angeles.
Okay.
The last thing I wanted to do was fight LA traffic to go downtown Los Angeles. But I did. I drove down to the library. I knew something was on my side. Luck was on my side when I went down to the LA Public Library. And in a place where there is no parking for miles, I found a parking place right in front of the library.
Wow.
So I could just walk in the door. Well, you couldn't go and browse through the stacks for city directories. You had to say what year you wanted, what area you wanted. You had to fill out this form, give it to the clerk, wait while she ran back and looked for the directory, brought it out. So I got the 1939 directory that included the Bay Area that had San Pedro in it. And I'm sitting there looking through it, looking, and there. Al Walters, 3105 Carolina Street. I still remember that address very specifically. San Pedro. Oh my God. I said, I found it real loud in the library, and all these people looking at me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it's the first proof I'd ever found, written proof that he actually existed, you
Wow.
know, was something beyond
And it
my.
wasn't Albert or Alfred, it was
It was
Al.
Al, just plain Al.
Huh.
And Al Walters, and in parentheses, wife Rose.
Oh.
So I knew it was the right one. So I got that down. Then I looked in the one for 1940, the directory for 1940, and yes, he was listed. It was listed joint, Al and Rose Walters, joint ownership of the house, and then. I went for 1941, and it was listed. Oh no, nothing was listed during the war. 41 through 45, there were no directories published, or if there were, they weren't there at the library anyway. So then the first one I could get was 1946, and there was no. Oh, Rose Walters was listed as the owner. I thought, so he must have died or divorced or. Signed the house over to her or something, but I had the address and I could ask for another directory by address. You know, this one went, the first directory went by name. All I had to look up was the
Oh.
Walters name, but I could, you can get another directory that looks streets and address. So I looked up 3105 Carolina, and there was somebody else listed today as the owner of the house or living in the house.
So in 1984,
Yeah.
there was no Rose Walters there
Right. No
anymore.
Walters listed,
Okay.
but there was somebody else listed at this 3105 address. And I right now I don't remember the name, what his name was, but I thought, now what do I do? And I decided, they gave a phone number, so I decided to call him on the phone. And I gave my usual speech. Hi, I'm looking for Al and Rose Walters that used to live in your house. And he was suspicious. He must have thought I was a skip tracer or something or other. He wouldn't give me any information. No, can't help you. No, don't know anything. Damn, what can I do? What can I do now? Well, I came back to Flagstaff and I thought, I'll write him a letter. So I wrote him a letter and I said, thank you for talking to me on the phone. I told him who he was. I said, I'm looking for my uncle, Al Walters, and I haven't seen him in 40 years. And I know he had two children. I gave the name wrong. He was giving it as Kenneth then, Kenneth and Catherine. And if you know him or any of them, could you give them, just give them my name and address and have them call me? Well, I surprisingly got a letter back from him. He was more sympathetic. And he said, yes, I did know Al and Rose Walters. I bought this house from them in 1940.
Whoa.
Oh, okay, or 41 or whatever it was. And he says, I don't know what happened to them. He said, I don't know where they went after I bought the house, but you might want to contact Ray Stalmack. I said, who's Ray Stalmack? Somebody who knew Al Walters. That's all he would say. Ray Stalmack. Okay. So anyway, so I had that information. Well, I wondered, next I wondered, would Catherine and Kenneth live in San Pedro still or in that area? Maybe that's what. So I looked up, no Catherine listed, no Kenneth, but the operator, she was very helpful. I got this you didn't have to go through all that stuff you do now, you know, online, and you're talking to a machine. And and he said, but I have a Ted Walters on some street there in San Pedro. Ted Walters. But it was on San Pedro. And I said, well, okay, can you give me the number for him? And so she did. And I had this thing now for Ted Walters. I thought, what do I do with this? I was at the bookstore, and a friend came in, Michelle, and I was telling her about what I was doing. She said, why don't I call them and pose as a genealogist working for my client? And she'd done a lot of genealogy, so she knew the questions to ask. So she called, and she got this woman, Lorraine Walters, and who said, and she said, introduced herself, said, I'm a genealogist. I have a client. I'm trying to locate Al Walters. She said, oh, yeah, that's my husband's father. I said, and then she said, well, we had the names that there's Catherine and Ted, Catherine and Kenneth. And she said, no Kenneth, but yeah, Catherine's his sister, and she lives in San Bernardino. And she said, is your client related to Rose Walters or just Al? And she said, and Michelle said, just Al. And she said, oh, then she wouldn't be interested in the Stalmats, would she? This name again, I'm sitting there. Michelle's whispering to me, Stalmats, are you, you know the Stalmats? I don't know who they are. And I said, no, tell them I'm not related to the Stalmats. But second time now, that name appears, Stalmat. Where is this going to? I eventually said, Michelle eventually said, well, would your husband be willing to talk to my client? And Lorraine said, sure, I think so. So Michelle gave her my phone number at home, and she said that I would be home at 6:30. She gave her my name, and she said, he can make a collect call to her, and she would accept the charges. And so I go home, and I'm sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. Precisely 6:30, the phone rings, and I get this, will you accept a collect call from Ted Walters? Yes, I will. And so Fanny says, hello, I'm Ted Walters. I said, well, my name is, you already knew my name. I said, I'm searching for Al Walters. He said, that's my dad. Now what do I say? I sit there.
Did he work at the auto parts store?
I said, I think he's my dad too. I thought, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna slam the phone down? Is he gonna call me a liar? He started laughing. And he just laughed. At least he's not mad. And I said, well, let me give you the details that I have and see if it's, make sure it's the same one. I said, in 1940, he wasn't living in San Pedro, he was living in Burbank, and he worked at Mogenet Auto Parts. Yeah, that's him. And he did say that he died in 1977, mm-hmm. or 1970-something. Al was dead. But he gave me all this, he gave me every bit of information he could. But then I said, well, I asked him all the questions I could think of, and then I said, Who is Ray Stalmack? Silence. He said, you better ask Catherine about that. Okay, how can I get in touch with Catherine? And so he gave me her phone number in San Bernardino. And then I said, you know, I'm coming to Los Angeles to visit my mother, to Pasadena, to visit my adoptive mother. Could I come and see you? And he said, sure. And he gave me instructions on how to get there and all that. And, one other thing that I neglected to mention that I had done before the city directory said, I thought, maybe Al Walters has, it was after I found his name in the library, maybe Al and or Rose Walters has died in the last 40 years. I wonder if I can find a death certificate. And so, again, what are these coincidences? In one of the search magazines, somebody had his name listed. And he says, we'll do a death certificate search in California for $25. For one name for $25, two names $50. So I immediately wrote back and said, wrote to him. Nothing could be done by email in those days. We didn't have email, or I didn't have it. And so everything had to be either by phone or writing. So I wrote to him. I sent him $50, and I said, Al Walters and Rose Walters, who lived in San Pedro in 1940. And so he sent me a list of all the Al's and all the Rose Walters who had died in the whole state of California in the last 40 years, you know, since 1940. There were 40 Al Walters who had died and 23 Rose Walters who had died in California between 1940 and 1984. So I thought, okay, now what do I do? And I start going through this list. And the list had the names and what county they had lived in when they died. And so the guy who sent me the list said he would also get me the death certificates for $20 each, for any death certificate I wanted. So I said, well, let's see, $20 each.
That's 40.
Yeah, I don't want all of them. I said, I think I'll start out with just the ones in Southern California.
Okay.
So like in Los Angeles, San Bernardino, San Diego counties, just the Southern California counties, because it was by county. So there were 9 Al's and 4 Roses who had died in those counties. So I sent him, what was that, 220 times 13, whatever that, $260. I sent him a check for that. And sure enough, I received in about a week this packet with 9 death certificates for Al and 6 deaths, or no, 20, whatever the number was, for Rose. And then...
So was this the Bureau of Vital Statistics that you're working with now?
Yeah. You had to go there in person, I think. And so he could go there in person while I couldn't.
Got it.
And unless I drove to Sacramento.
Sure. Okay.
So, and then he included a note in the letter. He said, I don't know what you're looking for, but if you look at the 2 death certificates I put on top, Al Walters and Rose Walters, they both are buried in the same cemetery.
Oh, wow.
And Rose, so I looked at them, yes. And Al's next of kin had been listed as Rose Walters.
Ah.
So it was pretty obvious that they were connected. And Rose Walters, her next of kin was listed as Catherine Walters.
Oh, her daughter.
You know, her daughter.
Yeah.
So I knew I had it. Again, proof, Al Walters, Rose Walters. I still have those death certificates buried, like I say, under 35,000 books, but they're there. I have them. And then, let's see. So I had the death certificates, and it said they were buried in the Green Hill Cemetery in San Pedro.
Okay. Did you have a birthday for Al? Was it 1888?
No. The birthday listed on the death certificate was 1896.
Ah.
And his place of birth was listed as Kentucky.
Oh.
And Rose's birthplace was listed as Austria.
Oh, wow.
So it's getting more and more interesting and involved here. But I thought, well, I'm going to go to the, when I go to California to see my mother, I'm going to stop by the cemetery. At least I can see his grave. That'll be some kind of closure. And I took this young Navajo girl that I used to take to California with me all the time, and I took her with me. We went to see, before we went to see Ted, I went to the cemetery, and I walked in the office, and I said, "Hi, I'm looking for the grave of Al Walters. And I wonder, can you tell me where it is?" And he says, "Oh, sure." And then he looked at me like, why are you looking for this?" I said, "I'm related to him." Again, the old adoptee thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't dare mention adoption. Why does he want to know? And he said, "Are you related to him?" Yeah, he's my uncle. And I haven't seen Uncle Al in quite a few years, and he died. So I see him. I just want to see his grave. Okay. He said, "It's up in Section C, C-540. Go right up the hill and park here, and you'll see it." Well, we drove up the hill, parked, and it was like looking at Flanders Field, gravestone after stone after stone after stone, row after row after row, no markers, no nothing, just all these gravestones. And it was in this section. There had to be 200 or 300 graves there,
wow.
Sites. So I told Rhonda, I said, "Look, you go down this row, and here's the name we're looking for, Al Walters." And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. She's about 10 years old, I think, at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I handed it to her. "Look for this name." I went down this row, and she went, and then went this row, and this row, and she went down. We got all the way to the bottom of the hill, having gazed at 300 graves, no Al Walters. And I suddenly looked down. Al Walters, oh my God. Rose Walters, right next to him.
Uh-huh.
Right next to, on the other side of Rose Walters, Alex Stalmack.
Oh, wow.
What the hell? There's that Stalmack again. And
Stalmack, that sounds like a sort of a German kind of name.
Could it be an Austrian name, maybe?
Could it be an Austrian name?
Okay.
Because
I still don't know who Alex Stalmack is, although I found out a few more things, which will be interesting. But turns out, after my phone call, and then we went to see Ted, and he had us, they had us for lunch. They made this big lunch. They were very happy to see us, Ted and Lorraine. And then they had a daughter named Martha, who went by Marty.
Oh, cool.
And and he said that, well, right after your phone call, I came in and told Lorraine, he says, "Guess what? I've got another sister." And he told her the story. And then there was a knock on the door. Maybe it was the next day. There was a knock on the door. He opened the door, and there's Ray Stalmack. And he says, "Ray, guess what? I've got another sister." And Ray says, "Oh, I neglected to tell this. When I found that man who lived in Alan Rose's house, you know,"
mm-hmm.
"and he said to talk
to Ray."
Yeah, talk to Ray Stalmack. I said, "Well, how do I get in touch with him?" He said he works for the City Beaches, L.A. City Beaches. Well, I couldn't find him listed in any phone book or anything, but I did find an address for the L.A. City Beaches. So I wrote a letter to Ray Stalmack in care of L.A. City Beaches and sent it to him, and I never heard a word. A month went by, 2 months went by, nothing. So, okay, fast forward again. Ted opens the door, and there's Ray Stalmack, and he says, "Guess what? I've got a sister." And Ray says, "Look at this letter I just received." They'd finally, 2 months later, forwarded my letter to him.
Wow.
Okay, so who is Ray Stalmack, and who was Alex Stalmack, now dead, next to Rose Walters? Ted would not say a word. He kept saying, you'll have to talk to Catherine about that. You'll have to talk to Catherine about that. He said, my father and I didn't get along very well. You'll have to, everything I asked. Mm-hmm. I said, well, where was Al born? He says, Toronto, Canada. I said, well, he told my birth mother, Georgia. And he said, on his death certificate, it says Kentucky. Oh, yeah, maybe that was it, is all he would say.
So they really were estranged.
All these secrets, these little, and nothing sort of fits. Everyone had a different story. So I finally, after meeting Ted, which was very, very good, and it was sort of closure and everything, they were happy to meet me, I called Catherine, and she lived in San Bernardino, and she invited me to come out one afternoon.
Nice.
And I did. And she had a friend there, and she said, oh, my friend here wants to meet somebody who claims to be Al's daughter. And I don't know if I look like Al or not. I don't know if they call me, but I gave them all the information I had. And then I said, well, so your mother and father were married, Rose and Al were married? Yes, uh-huh. Where did they get married? Sioux City, Iowa, 1921. Well, I did a complete search of the marriage records in Iowa for 1910 through 1930. Nobody by the name of Al Walters or Rose Pangier was her name, Rose Pangier, were married in Iowa in those 20, in that 20-year period.
Okay.
So somebody's, I said, is there a death certificate? I asked Catherine. I mean, a marriage license. And then she said, oh, yeah, I have it. I said, could I see it? Or have a copy of it? Or could I just see it? Oh, yeah. But she never would give it to me. I said, okay. She wanted to know my story, so I told her my whole story, Esther and all that. And, yeah, they admitted Al had left home during that. He was gone for about a year, living in Burbank, working at Mosinay Auto Parts, supposedly just because that's where he had a job, but she knew. Obviously, Rose knew about Al's affair on the side, because she showed up at Esther's and Al's house. Well, I finally had to ask, who was Alex Stalmack? Oh, he lived with us. Well, who are Ray and then I'd heard that they had lived, Ted and Catherine had grown up with Ray and Darlene Stalmack, brother, all half brothers and sisters. Rose was everybody's mother. Alex Stalmack was the father of Ray and Darlene, did I say? Or anyway, and Al Walters was the father of Catherine and Ted. I said, you mean you all live together?
So this would have been, so Rose would have had two kids before she met Al?
Either before she met Al or during the time she knew Al.
Okay.
Or I don't know, I think Ray and Darlene were maybe a year older than Ted and Kathleen.
Okay.
So, maybe that was before. Mm. But they all lived together.
Okay. Which would have made sense if Al Stalmack was Rose's husband, and then he was out of the picture, and she had two kids.
No, he wasn't out of the picture. Oh. He lived there too.
Oh.
This menage a trois, this menage a however many.
Well,
and there
maybe it makes sense that Al left. It's like, look, you've got...
Yeah. When I was still talking with Ted, I said, and I got this information that Alex Stalmack had lived there too. I said, could that have been the reason that Al Walters, your dad, left for a year? And he says, yeah. And so, but most of the time they were all living together for several years. And the kids all grew up together, and Alex was there. And then in the cemetery, Rose is in between, in perpetual bigamy between these two husbands, men, lovers, fathers of her kids. And so nobody would tell me the whole story about that. So who the hell was she married to? Was she married to Alex Stomach, or was she married to Al Walters? Well, I have been in touch. The only one that's still alive in this whole mess is Marty,
Ted Stark.
Ted's daughter. And she lives in, I think, Thousand Oaks, California right now. And we just get Christmas card contact. But I said, can you tell me any of the, I said, everybody's dead now. Can you tell me any of these, answer any of these questions that I'm curious about? And I said, how could Rose and Al and Alex live together no matter how many kids there were? And she said, I don't know. I said, who was she married to? And she said, well, I don't think she and Al Walters were married because they went to Mexico, oh, like in the 1960s, I think. They went down to Mexico and said they'd gotten married in Mexico. This was in the 60s after all the kids were grown. And why would they get married then? And
And it that's odd because Rose had Al's last name, right?
well, Rose did have, she was listed, yeah, in the city directories as Rose Walters. And on her death certificate, it was given as Rose Walters. But, okay, the one, my birth mother told me everything she knew, except I went back to her and I said, hey, what do you know about Alex Stomach? And she said, she was quiet for a minute. She said, is that the man who lived with him? I said, yes. So what did Al tell you about him? Oh, he was injured and they were just taking care of him. I said, well, Rose must have really taken care of him pretty well to have two kids by him. And she said, well, I don't know. She said, the reason I didn't tell you anything is you're such a good searcher that I thought you might be able to discover something. Oh, thanks a lot. Well, I don't know who Alex Stalmack was. Then the story came out, sort of, from somebody that Rose was born in Austria, that was on her death certificate, and that they had escaped Nazi something or other, takeover or something or other. They'd escaped to America in like 1939, in the early 1939. So I don't know anything about Rose's background except I don't think she was Jewish, so I don't think it was a Jewish thing, but they wanted to escape the, I guess, the growing horror that was happening there in Austria. And Stalmach might have been part of that. He might have been from Austria too. For some reason, I don't have, and I didn't get a death certificate for Alex Stalmach. That might, I'm just thinking, I maybe could do that now. That might give something.
And it might be
So,
a lot easier to do online.
I think I might.
You have his death date from his headstone.
I should have that, yeah, somewhere. And there's nothing else, I can get it from the cemetery, probably. Yeah, and
Or even
because they were
find a
all,
grave.
they all died. Well, Al died. Catherine told me that he was living in Riverside at the time, and she was living with him too. She, I don't know who, I don't know if her mother was there or what. I think, yes, I think her mother and she were, they were all living in Riverside. Ted had left home, and he one day said, oh, I feel, my stomach's upset. He said, I think I need a beer. And she said, it was really weird because he didn't drink beer. He didn't drink at all. But he had this beer, and later that night he died of a heart attack. And I think he was 77 years old, she said, and that had to be sometime in the 70s,
Right.
like, I said, one question I asked her, when was he born? When was his birthday? Because Esther told me February 16th, 1888. His death certificate says April 21st, 1896. And Catherine said, nobody knew. I said, that was probably closer to it, 1896.
Yeah.
I said, okay, so he would have died at, if he was 77, like she said, he would have died in, what, 75, 74, or something like that.
He could have served in World War One.
Except, when I said, well, where was he born? And she said, Toronto, Canada. And I said, why does it say Kentucky on his death certificate? Oh, we just said that when we filled out. Why did you just say that? You know, what's the purpose of all this fucking secrecy? And so I don't know anything about, that's the story of my birth father.
Okay.
I do have one picture of him, and I can probably find it on here and show it to you. It's when he's older. And
yeah.
And so, you know, so it's just this great big secret. They lived in this very, maybe it was a very illicit marriage, and the kids had been sworn to secrecy too, and or they knew they were doing something, or maybe Rose and Al were a, I don't know, something to do politically. Maybe they were here illegally, illegal aliens, if they came from Austria, or I have no idea. Yeah. That's the trouble. So anyway, that's the story of my father, and that's all I really know about him. I keep thinking I do have his death certificate. And that's the only absolute fact that I know, because somebody even said he may have been born in Florida. I don't know why. Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, why those southern states happen to be around there. And, I contacted somebody who knew how to search death certificates when I was searching for my birth father. And she said something that he could have been born in Canada and come across, it was very easy to come across at Niagara Falls and been in the United States, and if he wanted United States citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So that, he could have been somewhere up there, you know, right. Toronto, Canada, New York. Like I say, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
When I found these things out I could tell my birth mother what I found, but she didn't know either, you know.
Right.
She knew that there was a rose in the picture.
Right.
And, because she didn't even come to see Rose, and
Al wasn't forthcoming with his history. Toronto, Kentucky, you know, how did that all work out? And so,
and half the time he told her wrong. See,
well, if he told Rose even correctly, she would have known, but Esther wouldn't necessarily know.
That's him as an older man. He's probably in his 70s then, 60s.
So Marty is showing me here a picture of a gentleman. He's wearing glasses, as does Marty. He's slight of frame, as is Marty. He's wearing a white T-shirt and a sort of a dress slacks, got a belt, black belt on. He's got a... Marty, can you pull your hairline back for me? He kind of has a receding sort of fjord on his right and left sides, and I don't necessarily see that on Marty, because she's got a lot of hair. Well, he's got a lot of hair, and his hair looks lightish, as in blondish. As
I think it was more gray there.
Okay, could be. Can you pull your hair back past your ear?
I don't know.
They have the same ears and the same nose.
What I meant by birth mother, she said she was curious to see how I looked.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I see your mouth. She said, mostly you favor my side of the family, but you have Al's mouth.
Interesting.
Okay.
Huh. Because I see your jawline and your ears and your forehead. Well.
Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Very cool.
That's interesting. This picture is also, I don't have it on here, but it's with, he says it's a picture of him and Rose together.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't need Rose's picture, so
right.
I just cropped that one out.
Right.
But, so I would like to, I should like to know, just.
And that's the only picture Marty has.
Well, he did, Catherine gave me a picture of him.
Okay.
And right now I can't find it. I know I've got it. It's probably with his death certificate, wherever that is, under
the 35,000 books. Yeah.
35,000 books. Of him younger. And I showed that picture to my birth mother, and she said, oh, yes, that's just what he looks like. He was a little bit heavier. He's kind of thin in this picture. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit heavier then, and brown hair, and just a little bit stockier. And he had a cigarette in his hand, and Esther said he never smoked. I don't know why that is. So, but she said, yes, that's the man I fell in love with.
Mm.
So, but there's little things like, why? I wonder why he said he had a birthday of February 16th. Well, I counted back for my birthday. I wanted to figure out when I was conceived. And I figured, November 15th, well, that's pretty close to Valentine's Day. Oh, that's neat. Maybe I was conceived on Valentine's Day. And so I told my birth mother that, and she said, no. He told me, I thought you'd figure that out. He told me his birthday was February 16th. So that's when I was conceived, on what he said was his birthday.
Mm.
And I was born like at 10:53 p.m. on the 15th, so almost the 16th.
Hmm.
So anyway, I was conceived on February 16th, so it had nothing to do with Valentine's Day, but it seemed nice. So that's what he told. And then I don't know what the April date is, and I don't know if that's real or not, but just everything, there's too many stories to. Where he was born, what he did, where did he live? I said, well, if he was born in Canada, was he a naturalized citizen? She said, oh, he was a U.S. citizen. I said, well, was he naturalized? I don't know.
Right, which would make sense that he was. That he crossed the border and was in the U.S. and then asked for U.S. citizenship.
So anyway, that's the story of my story. I'm luckier than most many adoptees who don't find anything at all, and it's unfortunate to find them after they're dead. So often that happens. And if I had found when I first started in the 70s, I would have
still alive.
I would have found him alive, and I would have at least been able to talk to him. Maybe he wouldn't have wanted to talk to me. He obviously knew about me because he drove her to the home for unwed mothers, and which, I mean, officially, technically, I'm not a bastard because she was married, just not to him. And she was married to Clyde Foster. And I read every day. I'm in all these adoption groups. So every day about somebody who finds and they're dead, and they can never talk to the person and they never find out. Or the mother doesn't want to talk to them, refuses to see them, refuses.
Right.
So I was very lucky that my birth mother wanted to see me, and I mean, everyone in the family accepted me completely. My two brothers, my sister, actually my three brothers, and then Ted and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine moved to Coos Bay, Oregon, probably back somewhere in the 90s, and she, I said, now that everybody's dead, can you maybe answer some of these questions I have? And I started asking her. She still refused. I don't know if she's faithful her dad's memory or didn't know or was ashamed, or I have no idea. But I know a lot more than some adoptees, but I don't know as much as I want to know. But that's my adoption story.
Wow. Very cool. I wonder, we've been visiting for a little over an hour here. I still want to know about your bagpipes and how you got into playing bagpipes. Do you want to do one more oral history with that?
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, with that, let's conclude part 8 of Grand Canyon Oral History with Marty Scheidler. Today is Sunday, March 30th, 2025. And Marty, thank you so very much.